You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
B.O.B.'s been a little late lately. Must be getting some extra work on the practice field, but B.O.B. getting a little bit late. Maybe he's going to announce who the next GM of your Houston Texans is.
Me.
He's going to drop. No, he's not doing that. Don't do that. Don't do that, Timmy John. Don't
Again,
do that,
Timmy I'll go John. Back to the statement that Cal yes. made.
Ian Rappaport might tell us in an hour when he joins the show. First question we're going to ask him, is Nick Caserio going to be interviewed? But before that, let's hear from the people. Let's hear from some loopholes. The search to find Brian Gaines' replacement continues. Let's go to the phone lines. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Gupta again. What's up, guys?
What's up, Gupta?
Man, I got to tell you, there's some fishy stuff going on Kirby, man. But this might actually be a good thing because Bill O'Brien is on the hottest of hot seats that he's ever been on. And you know how they say it's always the quiet ones that you should worry about. And I really think that Cal McNair is one of those quiet ones. So hopefully we land somebody that's competent that can push us forward and get us to that next step. I like this Caserio possibility, but we'll see when we see because they're keeping their lips tightly sealed so far. So
Gupta, there's something I want to, before we let you go, there's something that I've always wanted to ask you. Because this happens, and I know this is semi race card-ish.
Race card!
But has your dad ever asked you, why don't you do something with your life?
All the time, man, all the time.
That's amazing. That
is that just a real thing?
Yeah. Do something with your life.
What?
All right. Is he overstepping his boundaries here, Gupta?
Well, he warned me first, so I think it's okay.
So that's like the no offense, and then you offend somebody. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Appreciate
Bless
you,
heart,
Gupta.
My goodness.
No, what the
hell is wrong with you? It's a common thing that certain cultures do, and that is one. They put a lot of pressure on their kids to excel in school and to do something with their life.
I've heard that there's some Russian people around here that might have that same pressure, too.
Yeah. On the radio program.
Well, I'm not naming any names. Well, I kind of am because he's the only Russian.
That's right.
Pavetex, what the hell do you want?
Remix, hello! What's going on, fellas?
Oh
y'all got
gosh.
Me feeling. Y'all got me feeling nostalgic, man. Talking about this lunch in the school. And damn, Landry, where the hell did you go to school? The Galleria? Seven different options, man. Figgy, you know what I'm talking about,
yep.
Figgy. We only had one lunch tray, and yes. We stole people's lunch tray. We stole people's money because we was hungry. That's what we did it for. And we didn't have those fancy little cards and all that. You had to keep it in your pocket and watch out for old Pave Takes Rob. Hey, man, but I'm going to give y'all a conspiracy theory on the Texans. Do y'all think that everybody was bashing them so hard in the media that they actually had to make a move? And Brian Gaines just actually ended up being the person to take the shot.
The fall
because
guy?
They made that, yeah, the fall guy, because they made that uniform change and they did everything else and everybody was bashing him, bro. Media was bashing him, national media. All the fans were starting to fall off and they said, we got to do something. Figgy, start that X-Files music because it's a conspiracy.
No, I don't think that at all. Cal McNair's a different guy, but he's not hasty like that. It was a hasty move, but I think he did his due diligence.
Did you feel like a lot of people were pissed off? I mean, I feel like there were some people,
I
there was some
unrest.
I didn't
know anyone that was pissed off, but I don't think anybody was pissed off because they didn't know Brian Gaines. He didn't have any time to really accomplish anything.
I feel like some people were buying into the process a little bit. I would say, you know, it wasn't, you know, people weren't like talking Super Bowl or anything, but I don't think people were just completely out on the Houston Texans. I don't think there was anything like that. Now, do you think Cal McNair hears the noise? I do. I do think Cal McNair's a loophole.
I'm
pretty sure that Cal McNair's a loophole.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think he listens more too. I'm not talking about listening to our show.
I think he gathers information. No. I don't think he has. I'll say this right now.
Yes.
I think he has thick skin. I don't think he's thin-skinned. There are some owners in sports that are thin-skinned. I do not think Cal McNair's thin-skinned, I think he does try to get a pulse of everything going on.
That's where I was going to go. I think the thick skin, thin skin is to be determined. You never know until you're the owner, you know, and you start hearing this every day, and the buck stops on your desk. But I will say this. Bob McNair really didn't listen. And I'm not talking about just the radio. Yes, the radio, mm-hmm. but listen to columnists and, national shows, et cetera. Cal McNair does. I can tell you that for a fact. He listens to and reads. And now, does he pay attention? I don't know to what degree, but I think he just likes to get that information.
Can I make a request for Cal McNair right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
I'm going to speak to the owner of the Houston Texans, and I'm going to say this with the utmost respect. I respect the hell out of what you've done the last few days. It took coconuts beyond coconuts. I haven't seen an owner this short in his tenure show these size coconuts in a long time. And the people want to hear from you. Like, mm-hmm. there's nobody sour
well,
on Cal
to.
McNair right
they
now. They're excited about Cal McNair. So I'm proposing that Cal McNair, every Wednesday during the season, joins In the Loop right here and gives us 10 minutes of his time. Give us 10 minutes of your time, Cal McNair, because the people are behind you. The people believe in you. People have bought into your process. Your head coach has basically directed all questions about the Houston Texans in your direction. And you've been somewhat of a mysterious figure for quite a while, but we want Cal McNair. We want to hear his voice once a week right here on In the Loop. So I'm inviting
right
Cal McNair. I'm inviting Cal McNair to give us a weekly visit, sir, because I got nothing but the utmost respect for you. And the people of Houston, the people who go to your stadium, they support you 100%. Speaking of Cal McNair, his head coach, Bill O'Brien, is at the podium. Here's the head coach of the Texans right here on In the Loop.
And leaders. Has a really good grasp of our defense. He's here every day. Very consistent guy, high-performing guy, smart player, tough player, dependable player.
Well, when you come down, it looks like coaches are not going to make those challenges on replay inside 2 minutes in the end of the game. How do you come down on which side?
Well, that hasn't been determined yet. And I mean, that really, I'm just saying that I've been on a couple conference calls where the final determination has not been made. I just speaking for myself, I believe that with the addition of OPI and DPI to the challenge system, our ability to put a flag on the field outside of 2 minutes is really the only change. Inside of 2 minutes, my opinion is it should stay the same relative to the coach's responsibility.
What did you see in TJ when he was a player for you that you liked or thought he would work as a coach?
Yeah, he's smart, hardworking guy, and you see that in what he's doing right now. I mean, he's breaking film down. He's helping with the offensive line. He's drawing cards. He's, he's doing a lot of different projects for Tim, for Mike Devlin, for myself. You can see that the qualities that he had as a player, you can see coming through as a coach, no doubt about it.
What kind of guidance do you give your young players that's getting ready to, be off a couple of weeks before training camp starts?
Say that one again. I'm sorry. There was a phone going off. I couldn't hear the beginning of it.
I said, what do you tell your young players, your first year, rookie players that's getting ready to, have this time off before training camp?
Yeah, well, I think my recommendation is, first of all, they'll be here for another week after tomorrow. And so they will continue to work with our strength staff and other members of our support staff. And then my recommendation is to always stay in Houston, to train in Houston. It doesn't mean you can't go home on a weekend or visit your family or significant others on the weekend or whatever, but I think it's very important to train in Houston for obvious reasons. Jaleel's been a really good addition so far into our locker room, on our field. He's a competitive guy. He's a smart guy. He's played a lot of football in this league. He's, in many ways come up the hard way in this league, and he's been a good addition so far. Obviously this is, not real football. There's no pads on and things like that, but, to this point, he's really been an impressive addition to our team.
The Houston Texans, over their history, have managed heat in a lot of different ways in the offseason. What are the things that you're looking at for this particular training camp upcoming?
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of thought into that, Stephanie. I think that we try to do the best we can to each and every year treat it a little differently. Obviously, going to Greenbrier was one way to treat it, right? But before we went to Greenbrier, practicing indoors, practicing in the morning, But, you know, in my experience here, and I only have going on 6 years of experience, I'm not a native Houstonian, but, you know, obviously at 9 o'clock in the morning in August, it's already 100 degrees. So, you know, we brought in this cool room, basically mobile cool room that we think can help. We really haven't determined. We're going to be meeting about that over the next couple of days, among many other things. But how to use that properly during training camp, because I think it fits about 35 guys in there. So, you know, obviously you can't fit 90 guys in there. So we'll have to figure out how we want to give guys breaks and things like that during camp. And then we also have brand new turf down in the bubble, so we'll be indoors maybe a little bit more during camp. But we're figuring all that out right now before we head out of here. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't done much, so, you know, we'll just have to see in training camp.
The offensive line is coming along.
I think, you know, look, I think without pads, so I think you have to really qualify that answer to make sure that you know that they don't have pads on. So everything on the front, whether it's offensive or defensive line, is determined by when you put the pads on. So take that and qualify this answer that however way you want to. They've improved. They've improved in their knowledge. They've improved in their technique. It's a very good group of guys. They work very hard. They're in early. They stay late. They do a lot of things together off the field. I think Nick Martin does a great job leading that group. I think he's a great leader. And so I think they've improved. Again, when we go to full pads, you know, let's see how that improvement takes shape with full pads on.
What are they getting out of juggling while they're doing offensive line?
That would be a question for Devlin. I think that was a little part that we were just trying to mimic summer camp right there. You know, Camp Nakahoma or whatever.
When you have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's obviously very good, how do you see him improve year to year, and what can you do to help him maybe focus on one thing or take a step forward?
I think the biggest thing for Hop is health. You know, just continuing to be healthy. You know, he plays the game hard, and he plays Sundays very, very hard, and plays a very physical style. So I think the biggest thing for him is, in conjunction with us, is taking care of his body and being as healthy as he possibly can.
Gave all your offensive snaps to basically two running backs last year. Is having a third one kind of something that is just a matter of having a third guy to take those snaps versus having a true kind of complement that does something different than
me? Yeah, I think it's hard. I think you've got a good question there. And I think we have a candidate there in Josh Ferguson, who's had a good spring for us. Hopefully that carries over to training camp for him. But, you know, really, that position is very unique. You know, that sub back is what we call it. That third down back is a very unique position. You know, in the past we've had, you know, guys like Arian Foster, who was a three down back, was really, really, he was awesome in the passing game too. He wasn't just a runner, obviously. And then, you know, places I've been before, Kevin Falk, who visited us a couple weeks ago, and Danny Woodhead. And so we've had sub backs, and we've got to, you know, continue to develop Josh Ferguson and see if he can be that guy. But that's something that, you know, we're still talking about, evaluating, and thinking about.
What kind of off-season program does Aaron Culpin have? And what role is he going to have this?
Yeah, he's been, I mean, I think roles for anybody are yet to be determined, with the exception of, you know, Watson and maybe a couple other guys. But he's had a good offseason. He's been here every day. He's worked hard. I think he's definitely in that group of players that have improved, which is a big group. But there's definitely been improvement because he's been out there every day. He's been healthy. He's been working. He's a hard worker. He's takes a good professional approach to every day.
And Joseph Bennett and helping the new defensive backs get acclimated here.
Yeah, he's always that way. I mean, he's been that way since the day I walked in here. He's, you know, he's got a lot of knowledge, and so he's able to, you know, impart that wisdom on younger players. You know, he's a very smart player, whether it's film preparation, preparing his body, or obviously out on the field. I think he does a good job as a leader.
OTAs and mini camp or passing camp. At the tape after a particular camp, and you're looking at the different targets, wide receivers and tight ends, what are you specifically looking at, and what are you telling your players about what you're seeing from their practices?
I mean, we could really be here all day, you know what I mean? But no, that's a great question. But I think that it's about knowledge of assignment, relative to where you are in the program, what stage you are in your career. It's about route technique. Is it zone? Is it man? How am I running this route? Am I converting this route? Am I changing this route? It's really about getting open and catching the ball. Can you do that in a OTA where really is not nearly as competitive as obviously it would be in a padded practice or in a game? So you have to try to do the best you can to evaluate. So it's not really, you know, this is what I don't think I do a good enough job of articulating this to you guys, but it's not really, the evaluation is knowledge of assignment. The rest of it's teaching and making sure that they understand what we're trying to ask them to do and then see if they can execute it. Maybe there's some evaluation involved in that. If the guy can't learn it, you know, you've taught it 16 different ways and he still can't learn it, then, you know, maybe you're thinking about a different guy. But really it's more about teaching and making sure they have a grasp of it before they leave.
Bill, you know, 3 years now with you and Deshaun, going through meetings, seeing him on the field, what do you think's changed for y'all's relationship? How's it changed? How much more does he know that y'all can communicate even better than when he first got here?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I think that I give a lot of credit this offseason to Deshaun. He's done an excellent job of improving the things that we've asked him to improve. His grasp of our offense is light years ahead of where it was obviously when he first got here, but I would say even last year. He's been able to participate in OTAs, which is huge. And then I would say that he, you know, most of his meetings during this 9-week span were with Tim Kelly and Carl Smith. So those guys did a great job. They were coaching it up. They were really in good, you know, in a good, you know, positive communication with Deshaun the whole 9 weeks. So I think we've really gotten better there, and I'm excited about where he's at right now. Sure. Tim's a very bright guy. He's a very smart young coach, one of the better young coaches I've ever been around. I'm not saying he's like 20 years old, but, you know, relative to some of us, he's younger. And so he's a really hardworking guy and a really good communicator, and he's done a nice job with the offense and with him and Carl together with Deshaun. They've done a good job of planning out the meetings. Carl teaches some things. Timmy teaches the big picture. And I think they've worked well together. I don't know. No idea.
What do you think about A.J. McCarron? What have you seen from him this offseason?
I think A.J. has brought a really good, competitive, smart, dependable approach to the room. You know, I think the way that he approaches every day, certainly there's things that he has to improve on, knowledge of our system, but he really works hard, smart guy. You know, he's played in some really great programs, obviously at Alabama, but obviously with Marvin in Cincinnati and John Gruden in Oakland. So he really comes in here and approaches every day in a very professional way. He shows up on the days when the vets have off. He comes in with the rookies. He works with the rookies. He's really put a lot of time into learning this offense, and hopefully we can see the reward of that type of labor, you know, when we get to training camp. Thanks.
Texans head coach Bill O'Brien meeting with the media. The encore of yesterday, a little bit lighter today than yesterday. My biggest takeaway there, why in the hell are the offensive linemen juggling? We'll get into that in just a sec. What really, why are they juggling? I'm going to ask Stanford Rout that, and I'm also going to ask him about playing for a powerful owner. He played for one of the most powerful, brash owners in the history of the NFL. What does he think about that? What's that like from a player's perspective? Stanford Rout next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.